we can be that missing link and be part of an ATV multi-use trail that will go from Halifax through to Yarmouth. And Queens County is one of the big stumbling blocks, and you have been working for years to get this done, so we are eager to listen to you to know if there's anything, as we spoke the other day, if there's anything that we might be able to do as a municipal, government to help you along in your pursuit. So the floor is yours, and welcome.
Thank you very much, and thanks for giving me the time to bring you up to date on our efforts to make this come true. I divided this up and let you know what kind of problems or constraints or challenges we have to get over or around to get this done. And there's quite a few, but none of them really insurmountable. It's just going to take some time. Political will is a big thing with all this. And so what we're talking about today is trying to get from Brooklyn to Liverpool, and then from Liverpool to the county line, Shelburne County line. At this time, the priority is getting from Brooklyn to Liverpool. That gives us connection to Bridgewater, which in the eyes of different levels of government, that's that link will change things as far as the Trails Act for the Bog Road and on to Hunts Point. TIR will obviously be involved. So the priority right now is to get from Brooklyn to Liverpool. So if we can do that, it's going to give it a big boost. And so here's some of the problems, or I guess you'd call them constraints, and some of the successes we've worked out. Number one, we'll start with Brooklyn Energy. That's the furthest, I guess you'd say east, northeast. There is an existing trail that goes behind Brooklyn Energy. I'll show you a little picture there later. And it goes behind Brooklyn Energy, and the ATV group had an LOA with them to maintain a trail get to the pipeline road. So since that, we've changed the LOA in favor of the Queens Rails to Trails Association. So now we'll be responsible for that, and we're going to change that and bring it up to standard for multi-use. The next problem, or constraint I guess you'd call it, is pipeline road. The pipeline road is under the control or management of Nova Scotia Lands. And the ADV group also have an LOA with Nova Scotia Lands. Department of Lands and Forestry decided that they would deal with Nova Scotia Lands on this issue and get the LOA changed to the Rails to Trails. And they have worked on it, but the changeover hasn't occurred yet, so we're still waiting for authority to work on that. Basically, that's going to take us from behind Brooklyn Energy right up to the Nicholson's Pond Road. And there's a bridge, a dam, and a public road going into that dam. We want to get on that public road for a short piece to get to the 103. And we're going to stay on the north side of the 103. So it's only a short distance, but we've got to get approval from TIR. I've already met with TIR several times, at least twice on site, plus some boardroom type meetings, and they're still looking into it, is basically the response. We're looking into that, and they've been looking into that for at least 2 years or more. So that brings us to the 103. So there's actually three groups involved in that short little space. Nova Scotia Lands and TIR are the big ones.
I could interrupt. When you to cross it or actually drive on it?
The Nickerson's Pond Road, I don't know if you can envision this, but when you get on Nickerson's Pond Road near the dam,
yeah.
You come up from the brook.
Yeah.
If you look across there, up just a very short distance, there's an old road. And it used to be the Nickerson's Pond Road. But when they built the 103, they moved it down a bit and they put a big underpass in. If you go back up, you'd see there's a couple houses and they come to a dead end. Well, that used to be a road right through. Well, once we get on the Nickerson's Pond Road, we plan to use that old road to get up to 103. So it's only a very short distance, like 100 feet, roughly, to get on that old road and then up. So we're basically just crossing the Nickerson's Pond Road. This clicker doesn't seem to be working here. Is there another way to do it? Nope. I tried it once and it worked. Okay, thanks, that'll work. No, it won't. Oh, there we go. Okay, this is an aerial shot of what we just spoke about. At the top right is where that would be Nickerson's Pond Road. That's where we come onto it would be the north side of the 103. I found out after discussions that PIR owns 200 feet on the north side of the 103. So we get on right here, stay along the north side of the 103 till we get down to Highway 8. Mm-hmm. And there's the parking lot right there, the carpool parking lot. Mm-hmm. We cross between the 103 and parking lot.
Now that's Great Hill.
Is that Great Hill? We're not far,
yeah,
that far.
No,
ahead.
Way down here. This is.
Oh right. Yeah, here we go. Yeah,
here's
right there.
You got to find water.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, Gray Hill, we just pass over that all the way down right here.
Right.
We're just between the parking lot and the ramp. We go there. Cross over number 8. Okay. Cross number 8, south side of the parking lot. And we continue on until we hit the trail that leads into Pine Grove. That's existing. So at that point you put up the barriers and some signs to direct all motorized traffic to the underneath 103 by the river to get on the Trestle Trail. Okay, now once you hit the Trestle Trail, that gives you access to the Irving and the other garage, whatever it is, for gas, food, you
Shell.
Can, pardon?
Shell garage. McPherson's.
Yeah, McPherson's, there's places to eat and some refreshments. So that's going to open it up for most of the services you need. And there's another little diagram showing how you come from on the 103, down by the parking lot, underneath 103 by the river, and then you come back, connect into the trail that goes down, you can go to the Irving or in this area here. The Highway 8 and the Highway 3, you can cross at 90 degrees, assuming you have a driver's license and your insurance and everything's in place, any one of those streets. At 90 degrees. So you can go from the Irving to the Superstore, or you can go from the Superstore to Donald's, or As long as you cross at 90 degrees or very close to that, and you have a driver's license, insurance, and everything, you can do that. So that opens it up for a lot of services for the traveling bicycles or four-wheelers or whatever you have.
Brian, would they have to park? When they have to park at the Irving? Because they could cross the street, but then they're on like the land of the car dealer, and then they're on Sobey's land.
Well, the trail crosses behind the Irving and continues on down here. So you can, I don't know where you'd want to get to. What do you mean? Do you want to get to a superstore? Is that what you mean? Or
that's in behind the Hank Snow Museum.
Yeah.
When you said, they'd be able to drive to the McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't envision how they would be able to, from the end of the Trestle Trail, then physically drive. I mean, they could park there.
But you can come, first of all, you can come across to the Superstore and then down behind McDonald's. You wouldn't be able to use the drive-thru.
If Superstore allowed the use of the parking lot.
Yeah. There's no... Well, we've already approached Sobeys for permission to cross their property, and we're still working on that. And that was for another route. But as an example, if you want to get from McDonald's, you can come out, go to the Superstore, go behind McDonald's and park there. You can come down to the Irving and cross there. The dealership has given us permissions to go behind the dealership on their property and go to Sobeys or Tim Hortons. And eventually, I would imagine Sobeys will let us pass through there to get to the hotel and the AmeriCenter at the far end of the parking lot. That would be this part up here, across there. There's lots of options, yeah.
So, Mr. Hack, so just further to Mayor Norman's question, I think her question was related to if you've got 8 or 10 ATVs traveling together and they come through the Trestle Trail to the Irving,
yeah.
I guess someone might expect that they're going to park their vehicles there, they're going to walk to Tim Hortons, they're going to walk to Superstore, they're going to walk to McDonald's or wherever it might be. That would be the assumption today, but what you're suggesting is that in some time in the future, ATV access across Highway 3 to go to Superstore, to go to Best Western, they will not be doing that. They'll actually be driving across Highway 3, Bristol Avenue, or I guess Highway 3 there now,
yeah,
on a regular basis sometime in the future. That'll be a normal expectation of ATV use in the future.
Well, I don't know how much it would be used, but I know it would be legal. They could if they wanted to. It's not against the law to cross number 8 or number 3. So wherever there's a 90 degree crossing, they could do that legally, drive across.
Yeah, so I guess the concern would be without a structured pathway for people to follow, it could be very dangerous if people are just all of a sudden going through the Soviet parking lots in different locations to get to the Highway 3 over by the AmeriCenter. Get the Best Western to stay there overnight, as opposed to a dedicated route like you see as you're going along the highway there. Or if they want to go to the Superstore, there's no dedicated pathway or trail to get to the Superstore. One might go one way, and one might go another way, and you'd have multiple ATVs going different ways through a public parking lot. So I think that would be the safety concern for the public. I think that's what Mayor Norman's asking. But is there a designated parking area somewhere where they're going to park and walk? But the answer, you're suggesting in the future, it's going to be acceptable norm for society that ATVs will be sharing that roadway or sharing pathways and parking lots with regular walkers,
correct,
sidewalks, and vehicles.
Yeah. Everybody that legally can cross the road can cross the road with an ATV or a car. They have a driver's license.
Up in Colebrook, they have the same situation. There's the Tim Hortons there and the Wendy's, and people drive the four-wheelers side by side and park in the parking lot there. There's 20 or 30 of them there all the time. It's going to happen here.
there is a parking area just about there behind the tax building.
Yes.
That's the place. For people that can't cross the road legally, park there and walk, as you said. But that's feasible. And as an example, you just brought up there at Sobeys, we would have a designated route behind the Chev dealer through to Sobeys. That would be a future way in the future route to give access to different places. But it would be a marked route for you to get from the end of the trail to different places. And that would be depending on the business. If the business wants access, they're going to give us permission to put a flag or route through.
Yeah, because all you're saying right now is just what you're going to do in the future, but that'll all be marked out and everything else when the all time comes.
Yeah, once they see the advantage, what income they could probably get from that, then they'll meet with us and get a plan together. So right now, our plan is to get to basically the Irving and the other grant, Michelle.
And then you're going to start putting your energies on this end.
Yeah.
And that stuff can be the third phase.
Yeah, this is the most important part right now.
It's just to get to that Irving.
Yeah. Right. I keep saying Irving, but it's not really just the Irving.
Well, no, I
know.
That
area.
Just to get to that area.
I don't want to make
the
it sound like I'm
the
an
end
Irving.
Of the trestle.
Yeah.
So one other question, if I don't mind me asking, is you say that you're going to try to cross the 103, and you've been 2 years, and they're still waiting to think, what makes you think they're going to change and pick up the pace? Because that could just go on forever, right, if you don't.
Well,
so
it could,
but the
thing we have in favor now is that they've already done that in Bridgewater at the golf course. They allowed a trail between the Highway 103 and the golf course. So that opens the door for everyone, as far as I'm concerned. It's a precedent set when they did that. Now we can refer to that and say we just want to do the same thing here. We're not crossing on top of the 103. The only crossing of the 103 is under.
Right. Yeah.
You can't cross the 103 illegally anywhere that I know of.
Yeah.
So that brings us to... So right now, those are the only constraints. And like I say, they're political constraints. Financially, we have some funds already allotted to try to start building this trail along here. And of course, it's conditional if we get TIR. So as soon as we get TIR, then we can start using that money to, and I would imagine we don't have a plan in place for construction, but I think we'll start at the Brooklyn Energy and work our way through until we get down to the Trestle Trail there.
That section that used to come from Bowater into where the Hank Snow is, the old rail line that ran through there, did they actually transfer some of that section to the homeowners? All of it?
Yeah, from everything I can see,
yeah.
Deed indicates they own that.
Okay. There's a lot of, most places they left the right of way through there, but it seemed like that one section they actually transferred to the homeowners.
Yes,
it makes that not a route you can use.
Yeah, that would have been a piece of cake.
Yeah.
For planning. Of course, that's not the way it is. Okay, and that brings us to the bridge. And of course, as everyone knows, we were fortunate enough to get that bridge refurbished and we're having another opening. This is to put up the interpret panels and finishing touches have been done on the bridge. It's completely done. Phase two finished it off. Everything's been renewed. It's not new, but like new condition right now. It was a big piece of this whole plan, and now it's in place. So from here, we'll start right at the end of the ridge, here.
Brian, before you leave that photo,
and I
was up that way, but I didn't take notice. Is there something physically there that would prevent an ATV from crossing that now?
It's a post in the middle.
There's a metal.
Yeah.
There's one metal post.
There's also a gate there now, but it's open.
Yeah, I almost got an ATV there last night. Somebody had gone in and turned at the post, and when they came out of there, they didn't stop at the road, they came flying out, and in 2 seconds I would have had them.
There's, yeah, you're right, there is a gate there.
Yeah.
And we put it in and tried it, it works, turned everything over to the region. And we made a decision that we wouldn't close it off. Now, we'd leave the physical barriers that are really in place. So really, you could turn it on right now if you wanted to, it's all set. It's a timed gate that closes at, it's in the agreement. Anybody know what time?
No, it doesn't matter, because we're not using it.
I think it's 10 or 11 o'clock at night, something in there closes. So it's still open for bicycles and walkers, but it would restrict a motorized vehicle. And then open again at, I think it's 8 or 9 in the morning. Anyway, so, and the barriers that are there now are just posts, and deters the majority of motorized users, but it won't stop everyone. You've got dirt bikes that will still cross, and you've got some ATVs, and I'm almost 100% certain you're going to find that most of these aren't registered. They don't have any insurance, and the RCMP is aware of them, and they're going to have to be dealt with. And that would be the first group that has to be dealt with. They have to have insurance and a license to be doing. There is another rule that's incorporated in this agreement that pertains to just the bridge, but it pertains to any trail that we build, and that is that you have to be an association member to use that trail, because this is private property. So the rules are right now, if you cross private property on an ATV or an OHV, you have to have written permission from the property owner in your pocket. Well, there is written permission, but only for association members. So that means you have to belong to a club that's recognized by Nova Scotia ATV Association. We do have a club here. When you join the club, you're issued a number, and you have to have insurance and all your necessary pieces to drive. So these people aren't part of the club. They're a sitting duck as far as enforcement goes. They probably wouldn't have insurance. They're not licensed, they're not registered with the motor vehicle branch, and they're not an association member. So there's all kinds of things that they're doing, and they've got to be brought to task. It's basically, if we can get rid of those, you're going to find that anybody that's bought insurance and has a machine and belongs to a club are going to be following all the rules to the best of their ability. And I think you're going to find a big, big difference once you get the authorized people using the trail versus the unauthorized, which we have now. We've always had.
I will say in the past, when I was doing geocaching, we would do trail cleanups in like April and September, and we partnered with the ATV associations in Halifax, different groups did.
Yeah.
And the trail associations are very good about policing their trails. You know, like we saw different people came in with no helmets, and they chased them right off the trail, wouldn't let them on there. So they've done a good job that way.
Okay, there's kind of an example, a little bit. Our intention is different from this. Our intention, although the bridge is wide enough for two vehicles to pass like this, our intention is to have a single use. If there's some pedestrian walking on the bridge, then we intend to keep the ATVs off until it's clear. That would be our rule. And bicycle, wait, the ATVs are last to cross. Bicycle's on there, it will cross, then an ATV. So it would be, motorized would be an exception to the traffic where they have to wait for the bridge to clear. So that would be our intention. Okay, this is another shot of what happens at the end of the bridge. And something of note is right here, right at the first intersection of Main Street. The railroad crosses at about a 45 degree. So we, to make it legal or proper, we have to come down to the corner of where it starts in Main Street, cross close to 90 degrees to the corner of Central Boulevard, I think it's called. Anyway, so, and then cross Central at 90 degrees back to the trail. So it's a little bit of a hitch right there. Something to keep in mind. And the next little problem or constraint is here. It's the same thing. We want to cross Lawrence Street at 90, so we have to, it's a very steep grade, and it's, and the regulations for the trail indicate, I think it's 15 degrees. So we have to fill in there a bit, and it should be just about level with the road before we cross. That gives you a chance to stop, the stop sign, which would be there. And you're kind of level, so you look both ways before you could cross, instead of on a hill like that, trying to figure out whether you can go or not.
And that's an exceedingly wide trail, because that's that old CN.
Yeah, it's wide. Yeah, it's normally 44 feet on both sides from the center.
90 feet.
Yeah, all good.
So at that junction, you the trail would, the trail pathway would actually be wider there to make that swing.
Yeah, even with what's there, which has what's left, if it's used, you can still do that without going any further wide. And that's pretty well the only physical constraint. Oh, actually, when you cross right there, there's a residence, I'm not sure who owns it now, but the trail, the rail bed, actually goes through their property between the house and a garage or a building. I'm not sure what's the garage. So it would have to be some consideration there on how you're going to handle, even though it's owned by, I assume it's owned by Liverpool or Queen. What exactly are you just going to complete the trail and go through? Or we're going to put some fencing in or a gate or just gravel it and motor on through. Anyways, it's got to be considered. And that's right through now and brings us to Harley Humphrey. And there's that's where the trail comes out, right there, to Highway 3. Metapon. So we cross straight across to the south east side of Harley Humphrey. I was down and physically checked, and there's piers from like in Measure Oak. There's plenty of room between here and here along the pond, between the road and the pond, to build a trail. I've got the specs here for you, but a possible constraint here with the Department of Environment. I would say the best approach to that would be to get someone out and have a look to make sure that there's plenty of room so we don't need a
kind of permit. You won't be in the wetland.
No.
There's enough.
No, I think there's plenty of room there, but I'm just saying that probably a good idea before we actually say this is our route to have someone look at it and make sure it's not going to be a problem. And we anticipate to stay on that side until we get to, this is the call center property.
Liverpool Business Development Center?
Yeah, Business Development Center, okay. Anyways, we'd like to cross there because we're getting close to the crematorium property, and they've got a constructed entrance way. And if we cross back here, there's got two options here. We can stay on, there's a bit of grass area between the road and the parking lot. We could go through, build a trail right on the grass area and not even go on to the parking lot, or we can go go on to the parking lot and barricade section off the width that we need. And then we're behind the building here. We cross over the street here, it's West Street. And we've got several options there. But just down here behind the building is the end of the trip. And that's where we eventually, wherever we cross, line up with that trail, and then we're on to Hunts Point. Any questions on that area? Okay. Okay, TAT, which is TIR, we need that for the provincial property on the north side. We also need to look at underneath, between underneath the 103 bridge and the river. It may have to be wide because we want to try to avoid traffic meeting under the bridge. There's a limited visibility there. So I think we may have to widen it out and put a divider in the middle and then have traffic on either side, not on the same side. So that's something to keep in mind also. Right now, the legislated width for any trail in the province, OHV trail in the province, is 66 inches. So of course, any construction we do would be 66 inches wide. When you're talking about a barrier. So if you're, let's say any street we cross, there should be a barrier there to limit to 66 inches in town or out of town. Now we can, that's provincial standard. Of course, you own this, so you feel 66 is not wide enough or something, you can deal with it yourself. So that's a provincial standard anyway. Okay, that I already mentioned the Central Avenue intersection, get 90 degrees, and the Lawrence Street intersection is the same. Mentioned between the house and the garage, there's a possible problem there. And Department of Environment for Charlie Humphrey. Rails to Trails Association is going to submit an application for funding assistance for this. Haven't worked it out yet, but I'm working with Megan Roberts. We have some funds committed, but we can include that as soon as we get TAT online. And a big thing we could use is a letter of support from Region of Queens to TAT or TIR to assist getting this in motion. And of course, a big step would be to get an actual route approved by the council through Liverpool, or on region property, I should say. So the engineer, your engineer, has a copy of this, and he's had it for a couple weeks now, and I haven't been getting any feedback, but I would expect he's going to look it over and see if there's some problems that we're not aware of. So, and he'll bring it to me or you, figure out how we're going to handle it. So that's in the works. So those are some of the ways that you can help out with this. Yeah, I've already mentioned the...
So, Brian, you would let us know who you're writing to for the grant assistance,
yeah.
That you need a letter of support?
Yeah. Well, as it stands today, we have some funding to work on the trail from Brooklyn to Liverpool. So, and we know how much that is, and it's already been approved. So we would use that in our application to the region for assistance financially. And course, by then we'll have an idea how much the whole thing's gonna cost to get from Brooklyn to Liverpool. And we may not have enough funds to get it all done this year. It may take a couple of years to get it done. But that's our intentions anyways, to get it done. And DLF.
Department of Land Support?
That's another issue we'll get into now, but are there any questions on from Brooklyn to Liverpool? Because once we leave Liverpool, it's another kettle of fish.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You had talked before when you were here about like going on the south side of the 103, and now you're looking more to the north side. What are the constraints? Because it almost looks like if you went south side, it would make it a lot easier to cross and access the trail, the trestle trail, without having to go under the bridge. But is there a lot of other issues that make that route harder?
Okay. The south side was our first look plan because we didn't know there was 200 feet on the other side.
Okay.
But that's a big issue, the 200 feet. We got lots of
room,
lots of places to go around and stuff. So side, we looked at that, and there's not really a big issue until you get to the property surrounding the AmeriCenter. Once you get off there, then you have to use that walking trail or part of it, or put one beside it, and you got to deal with Sobeys, you got to deal with the Chev dealer. We had good success with the Chev dealer, but Sobeys is still in the works. And the only way to get to the trestle trail, unless you go up over the big hill and then down by number 8, and that's a major hill there.
Yeah.
And there's not much to work with. It's very close to the 103, so that's a big obstacle. And then when you cross, it's all a swampy area on the this
right.
side of number 8, and that was another problem we had to deal with just to get on. So once we found out there was 200 feet on the north side, so that's we can
the better.
Yeah, that's
much
better. So we've looked at I don't know how many options on this over the last couple of years, and to us, our opinion is this is a feasible, cost-effective route. But if there's other suggestions, we're not. This is not set in stone. This is just an opinion of our group.
Your project.
Yeah.
We're gonna follow your lead.
Yeah.
So that's the Barton Lands and Forests. We can get into that now. Once we get past this building, we run into a problem that this section of trail out through to Hunts Point is under the Trails Act. And it's been that way for years. And I'm led to believe that this is the only trail in the province under the Trails Act. The Trails Act only allows hiking or walking. No bicycles, nothing else. So conversation with people in DLF, they said that if we can get the Liverpool connected to Bridgewater, and we'll change that designation to shared use, multi-use, so that we can get from Liverpool to the county line. So if we get this first part done, or at least in writing, then we can approach DLF to change the designation there. So we'll probably need some support there from the region, another letter saying, we wish to get that changed. I think that you went back historically, our council had a lot to do with it being under the Trails Act. So,
and I would suspect, Brian, when you let us know that in a timely fashion, we would do that through a motion of council.
To
make a stronger point. But we don't want to compare it yet, so it's.
As soon as we get some kind of written approval to connect Liverpool to Bridgewater, then that's the time we can.
Well, you let us know.
Yeah, sure. I sure will. So that would help us get through to Hunts Point. Once we get that approval, then we can start looking for money to redo. That trail is in pretty good shape as far as building trails, because it's already got the base and it's somewhat got the width in most places, so we just have to upgrade it. We don't have to build a whole new trail. We just follow that along, resurface it, cut it back so it's nice and clear. Have another inspection on all the bridges, several.
It needs to be cut out, some big rocks taken out.
Well, yeah, some of those rocks are in place to keep cars from coming in at that point, or trucks. But it would be, yeah, it would be built the same as the rest of the trail and same standard. Okay, then we get to basically our plan here. We haven't done a lot of work. There may be some other options on this, but from what we've seen so far, once we get to Pitt Road, which is just past Silver Rock Drive, Pitt Road takes us up towards 103. Now there's some region property in there, but I don't have the mapping, so we may not have to use that road. We may have to be able to go up to region property, I'm not sure. But once we get to the 103 again, we'll stay along the 103 until we get to Broad River. The big constraint there is Broad River. Well, we thought that the most cost-effective way to get across Broad River would be to use the old Highway 3 bridge. So it would be used by ATVs and motor vehicles. And it's quite wide, because it was part of the 100 series. We could use cement barricade to go and section off a piece on the side for ATVs to use, not the main travel portion. Actually, if you look at it, the white line that indicates the shoulder, even on the bridge, is wide enough for ATVs to use. So it would just be Jersey Barrier or something like that to section off. Not good for single use, but one direction at a time. Once we get across the Broad River, then there's another road that exists. That's used to be a Bullwater Road.
Slide that shows this.
Yeah, coming up. So we go under the 103. The Bowwater Road, go underneath the 103, the same as we did before, to get on the north side, along beside the river. And that's fairly high in rocks, a lot of rocks there now, so that's a lot of room there. And as soon as we get across underneath the 103, there's a service road there that's already built, and that takes you parallel to the 103 right up to the existing trail. Important to the trail, it won't and once we get up to the existing trail, then that takes us through the Shelburne County line.
Won't that be a day to celebrate?
Well, someday. It sounds like a lot, but once the OKs come in and we can do that, then it will move pretty fast. The government, not necessarily this government, but the government wants this trail built. And they want to bring in bicycle traffic and everything else. As long as we have parts that aren't connected, it's going to be limited. But this brings us to the, this, it's we've already started on this and we're part of are already working on this, and they've come up with some funding also, so. I think it's federal money, but we haven't applied for any yet. But eventually you'll be able to get on the trail, let's say here, and you'll be able to go through the Yarmouth, around the French Shore, Big Beat, and down Bridgewater and back to Liverpool, or right into Halifax and back to Liverpool. That's the intention. If we can get our part done, that will put pressure on the neighboring places to get their act together and get it done. So that's our intention, and as I said, your engineer has a plan. There's the rough specs on trail width, and there's a section under the regulations that goes into it in depth. It's 10 to 20 pages. Have a look. A little trail.
Does anyone have any questions that they didn't ask? Are we all excited?
I don't really have a question, but I'm looking forward to when the trail is done, because I've done every foot of the trail from Yarmouth to Halifax, either by foot or by bicycle, and some of the sections were pretty rough.
Yeah.
But the sections that have been done with trails get a lot of use. And it's not only ATVs, it's people out walking, people out biking, people taking strollers with their kids. They make beautiful trails. And I think it's a good way to link communities and a lot of economic potential. If you go down around Yarmouth, through Hebron and that area, any hotel that's close to the trail is full of ATVs in the parking lot on the weekends. People do a weekend run, and it's a way to bring people in.
Well, we're multi-use.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can build to a standard that will.
Yeah. Track that.
That's our intention.
Yeah.
Are there any rest stops on the trail?
We have some.
A lot to.
There's no services we have.
No, not services, but just like a place that they can pull off, like maybe have a lunch or whatever.
There's one in coming about midway from Shelburne County to Portland, too. And there is one at Somerville Beach on the other end of that bridge that's in the park.
Right.
But the storm. Most of it out. It's usable now, but it was made of cement. It's still put it out. And we're going to be putting a new facility in on the River Bridge, just on the Lunenburg County side of that bridge. It's a memorial thing for one of the poles. And that's about it right now. We try to put them halfway, but the problem we're having is if they're not in an area where there's some houses that can see them, they're susceptible to a lot of damage. But that's why we built them out of cement, tables, benches, and stuff like that. But they still find a way.
Last fall, I believe, I had
correspondence
from several people as to Councillor Brown about the size of the aggregate that's used down where the old Medway station was, where the bridge is.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to take their young child on a little bicycle, and the aggregate was too big.
Yeah.
And you had indicated then that that larger aggregate would be covered. Was that able to get done or not, or did it get worn down in?
Well, what we did, we had, I think it was around $25,000 we spent just on that trail from Brooklyn through the county line. And there's one spot, the trail is made of that. We didn't haul it, and that's what's underneath.
Yeah.
And so what we did was we scraped it off, and we took tonnage from one spot and put it on another spot that was low and tried to build it up, and then covered it over with 150 tons. Class A. And still come back through. And we know about that problem. And the only way we know of to deal with it is haul it away. And so that's what we've been doing piece by piece. But it just keeps coming back. It's like a nightmare. But it's a very expensive one.
Just in case you get contacted again.
Yeah. We're aware of it.
I was gonna ask about the condition of it, because I hadn't heard any complaints this summer. But
fingers crossed.
Yeah.
We're hoping that the ATVs will beat it down enough to make it hard enough, but it's quite a stretch of it down.
Would putting like a landscape fabric over before you put Class A keep it from migrating through, or?
We haven't put any of that in.
Yeah, no.
We thought, well, we were told, like, I'm not an expert on that sort of thing, so I rely on the contractors that we want this fixed. And they said, well, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna haul that out of there, and we're gonna put Class A on there. And so that's gonna solve the problem. That's great. So they did it.
Yeah.
Behold, come back with the same problem again.
My response would be they've been trying various things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We put
Just be patient.
Yeah.
Put a lot of money into that trail last year.
Any other questions of Brian?
No.
Well, I thank you. We see you back later this afternoon with your emergency measures coordinator hat on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let us know, like the Trail Act, the changing of that. Definitely should be a motion of council to give it the weight of the motion of council.
Sure.
Letters of support are, if you think it requires the motion of council, then that would be next August, next month.
Yeah.
But if it's simply a letter of support for grant application, we can instruct that within. But if you think of a motion of council for a grant application, then you'd have to notify our CAO so we can get it in our next agenda. So you should have, you'd have to let them know about it at the end of this month. If you always think about, look at our council dates, and then always look 3 weeks back. Writing reports often takes, well, not often, they do take time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Brian.
Thank you.
Any questions you've come up with, just call me. Everyone's got my number.
Yeah.
Now we do.
You can call me anytime. Thank you.
Thanks
a lot.
Well, Mr. Hatt is packing up. We should have a motion to move in camera. Moved by Councillor Gidney, seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favor?
No.
It's 1:30, so we need a motion to come out of in camera. Moved by Councillor Gidney, seconded